Okay, today we start Masechta Makot, Daf Aleph. So the Mishnah begins. Ketzada Eidim Naasim Zomim. So we start with, or I should really say, we continue with the concept of Eidim Zomim. Eidim Zomim are witnesses that are found to be false, and the punishment is they get a reciprocal punishment, meaning whatever they tried to get this person punished with, that's a punishment they receive. Kasha Zamalasa. Now, what we learned, however, in the last Mishnah, where we ended last Masechta, that's why I said really Sanhedrin and Makot really have to go together. Is already an example where this is as literally the words of last year, where we have a situation where the reciprocal punishment isn't exactly reciprocal. Ein maktim lo tomita. That was Omei Vakoen. Even though she would have got Sreifa, they get Chenek, if you remember. So now the Gemara is going to be, that's sort of the launching pad here, when even though we say Ketzad Nasim Zomim, where we continue talking about situations where they don't exactly get the same reciprocal punishment. One of these cases, Ploni, they test again, these witnesses attest about an individual. These are Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza. By saying this Kohen is a Ben Grusha, that makes him a Chalal, meaning that his father married a divorcee. He is therefore a Chalal, and therefore he would lose all his rights to be a Kohen. But Trumah, it's also a serious financial hit other than the Kavod, or the opportunity to work in the Beis HaMikdash. All that effect. Or a ben chalutza, that's really a sort of a chalal midrabanan. In other words, that's a case of chalitza where chalitza was performed and a kohen's not allowed to marry a woman who performed chalitza. In other words, her husband passed away, didn't have any children, the brother performed, well, the process of chalitza was performed. So it's not a kohen. And in that situation, we say we don't make these eidim zomim chalalim. Now, the Bavlis, I'm sure you're familiar with the Masechta, goes in a lot more detail here that even if the Eidim themselves are Kohanim, we say they don't become Chalals themselves, Elo Ker Arba'in. And why is that? I'll just show you here in the Korban Ha'idah, he says, Lakayem Bo Kasher Zamam, we don't make them again, give them a reciprocal, because it says, Vasibim Lo Kasher Zamam, meaning, Vasitim Lo, to him, Lo Velazaro. So the punishment is meant to affect the witnesses and not their children. Now, if you make him a halal, that means his children will be halal. Ah, but what do you say? Vim tasu halal, why make him a halal? Vahu kohen, in other words, vahu kohen, and sorry, vim tase halal, vahu kohen, hasal tazer melam. Now, sorry, vichy time, if you want to say, nifsol otol levado, why do you just make him a halal and not affect his children, somehow magically create that reality? He says, no, beina kasher zamam lasot. The point of reciprocal punishment is you give him exactly what he wanted to cause. He wanted to cause the accused to a whole lineage, his whole line not to be Kohanim by being a halal. So therefore, by saying, okay, we'll just make you a halal and not your children, that's also not a reciprocal punishment. So therefore, since you can't give the kashas amnasot, that's why he gets Malkus instead. Okay, and we'll discuss that in the Gemara. Minanich punishu chayv galut. Again, this is a situation where he is chayiv, the person they're testifying someone killed a person inadvertently, b'shogeg, and therefore as a result he has to go to run to galut. Einomrim, we don't say, and then they found to be false. We don't say, oh, you Einomrim, the Eidim Zomim have to go galut. Another situation where you can't give him give sorry, you can't give him the reciprocal punishment. Therefore, il keter abayim. Because again, once it says, and again, the mute in the pasuk korban says, hu yanus v'lo zomim. So I skipped a bit. I want to show in the Korban Eidah. The question is, where do we see you get Malkus? So that's the next Korban Eidah that I've sort of skipped over. But it says, Da'amar Kra, V'tzviku Tzadik Rishu Tarasha. Again, this is all, if you like, from the Bavli that we don't have written in Yerushalmi. That's why we've got the gaps being filled in by the Korban Eidah. The pasuk it says, you should make, Tzadik the Tzadik, make righteous the righteous one, and Hishu Tarasha, V'im Kot Tarasha, and you give Malkus. The Gemara says, once again, V'im Bein Kot Tarasha, because you're making the Tzadik Tzadik. What's called Mishum Dir Shiva the Rasha? What does that mean? Because you made the Rasha Rasha, you make him in Malkus. What's going on? In other words, Vichi Kol Hechadit Stiku Beitin et a Tzadik Vishiva the Rasha. Is this to say that any time Beitin finds one party innocent, the other party guilty, you give Malkus? That's not true. Takama Kravit Stiku Vayim Ella Al Korcha Chitung Na'et Stiku meaning Vachi Kamar Eidim Shishu et a Tzadik. If you've got witnesses come along and they come to incriminate and make appearance of bad at Tzaddik, and other Eidim come along, and then come and make the original Tzaddik who was falsely accused as being a Tzaddik, and then the Yeshua Tarashan show that those false witnesses were to be false, That's when they get Malchus. So it's a drash from that pasuk to show that by Edim Zomamim, they can get Malchut. Now that's very important. The Kohen makes this point later on in what is later Purushim, because if you think about it, this is a Lav She'ein Bo Maaser. What Maaser is there? And Lav She'ein Bo Maaser, you don't get Malchus. No, we've got a special drash in the pasuk to by Edim Zomim get Malchus. Okay, fine. And then the same thing also by Chayiv Galut. Let's continue. Now, let's say someone to testify, or these witnesses testified to about a person he divorced his wife and didn't give her a ketubah. Now you can't give the reciprocal punishment saying you have to pay the 200, because it might be that the next day he's going to divorce his wife and then give her a ketubah. Or he'll eventually die and she'll get a ketubah anyway. So Ella, so the question is, how do you work out a reciprocal punishment in that situation? What's the value that they're making him lose? Elom dim, we say, kam adam rotzeh liten b'ktubata shel zu she'im t'amon ikarsha v'im meter shena bala. Which is, in a nutshell, what this is saying is, we have to appreciate the value positions of the woman and the man. What's the value position of the woman? The value of a ketubah, even if it's written 200, is not necessarily 200. If someone wanted to buy her position in this situation, he wouldn't pay 200 for it. Why? Because it's possible that she might die before him, and then no ketubah would be paid out. Correct? The time the ketubah is only going to be paid out if someone wants to buy her position, her rights to the ketubah, will only be if she's divorced or the husband dies first. And that's, I'm going to speak to an actuary in this situation, work out the value in terms of what that one might be. So how much would a person want to pay for her position? Because that's effectively the value that's being active, or what they lied about being activated. That's one way of explaining it. That's the way Yerushalmi will explain it soon. So therefore, that's the value they have to pay to the husband. Okay, let's continue. We already have an issue in the Torah of not bearing false witness. Then it goes on to talk about actually the concept of Edim Zomim Vasim Lachiv. Why is that? Why does the Torah do that? I mean, et sha'at yachol lekayem bo vasitim lo kasher zamam. Then change the gear and say, ein ata makem lo ta'aneh. Ve she'ein ata yachol lekayem vasitim lo kasher zamam lachiv. Change the gear and say, at mekayem bo lachiv bracha. In other words, the reason why I've got these two psukim is to teach you that there are two, if you like, options that one can be employed. When you can apply the reciprocal punishment, like the normal case in Zomim, he's chayiv $100. He lied. They have to pay $100. The witnesses have to pay. The false witness have to pay $100 back. Then you do kasher zama. However, when you cannot apply kasher zama, like we saw in the case of Ben Grusha Mechalutza, or in the case of chayiv galut, those are two cases brought in our Mishnah. That's when you say, that's when you flick on to the other lota, that's when that applies and Malchus would apply, based on Merikot, like we saw before. Okay, now we have to be careful here, because what a gives a change. It's sort of based on other, we've seen in other sectors as well. I think Trumok, Tubot, and the like. Because the Gemara now asks the question. So if you have a look at the Korban Eidah, if you have it in front of you. It says as follows: Lo ken amar Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan mezid b'chelev b'shogeg b'korban. Let's say someone knew you're not allowed to eat chelev, but he didn't know it was an issel karet, such that if you did a b'shogeg b'chayv b'korban, what happens in that situation? Matrim bo, you warn him, and he gets malkut, and would have to bring a korban. So you see here, there's no problem with applying multiple punishments. That's an interesting case. It was shogeg b'korban, it's been korban chatat, but he was mazid in the actual act of eating chaylev. He knew it was asur, so therefore you get malchus. So if that's the case, if you've got two psukim, then why don't we simply say, give the Eidim both the reciprocal punishment and malchut? Why are we forced to say it's one or the other? So I'm still in the gears of change here, because you can see it's about four lines. He rearranges and adds stuff. It says, Rabun bar chiya b'shem Rav Shimon bar Yitzchak kedei rishato. Because the Torah says, in other words, according to his Risha, singular, the bad thing he did. In other words, if two things are handed over to Beitin, then you only give him one of those punishments. Yatsa, what about the case with the Korban and Malchus? That's different. Yatsa, in a situation where it's something, a punishment to Shamayim being administered, Such a nice chiyuv korban, for example, that's not something that Beit Din is mechayev. That's something, the way the korban explains in the parish later on, that's something he was al yedei atzmo, he was mechayev himself. In that situation, there's no problem in mechayev too. So, in other words, when do we say kedir shalom yisbar, or when do we say you can only give one punishment? That's when it's given over to Beit Din. That's when the case of Edim Zolim, it's all reciprocal punishment, all malchus. And it says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, "Vasitim lo velo lazaro." That's the end of the whole gears of changes we've seen, but since they added, and the Korban said that's to explain why, in the case of a ben Gerusha, we give Malchus and not. We elaborate in much more detail in the Mishnah. It gets Malchus, and you can't make them. They can't make them the Eidim Zolmim ben Gerusha themselves, even if they were Kohanim, because I halalim, I should say. Then it says, "K'tiv v'lo yichalal zaro ba'amav." The question the Gemara is dealing with now is as follows. It says, not, you're not like, you're not the Makachala. Fine. Ainli ela zera shahu mitchalel. We only know so far, for the Pesukim, if you like, that in such a situation that it would make the child a halal. Ben Grusha Mechalutza says, he atzma, how do we know that she'd also become a halal as a result of that relationship? Now, what does it mean that a woman become a halal? Well, if she's a bas kohen, it means she can't have truma. And also, it means she can no longer marry a kohen anymore. So, question: how do we know that it would also affect her as a result of being or having this asur relationship? The Gemara says, "V'dinu ma imazera shelo avara veira harum chalal." The child who did absolutely nothing wrong. This is a kal v'chomer trying to bring. He becomes a halal. He sha'avra aveira. He, her that did aveira, kal v'chomer she should become a halal. That's a halal. That's the kal v'chomer we're setting up. The Gemara says that doesn't make any sense because who atzmo yochiach? The proof is the man. We know that if a kohen has this forbidden relationship, he hasn't become a halal. Only the child does. So what's meuchich? Shavara vera, he had the forbidden relationship with halal. So therefore, how can you have proof that she, who is also part of the relationship, should become a halal? So the Gemara says, no. Lo imamarta ishi enu mitchalel. In other words, don't try and bring a proof from the man, because for the ish, he's not mitchalel b'chomakom. Meaning you never find a man who was a kohen can turn himself into a halal. However, to be Isha, you can see there are other contexts where you find that Isha can be mitchalelet b'chol makom. What would that be? That would be other forbidden relationships. The Korbanator brings us here.
One
The Hiyatz.
second, a
Bak
coin,
Kohen. Sorry.
a client who can't do the avodah then anymore. That's also punishment. If he marries a halal, he cannot do the avodah anymore.
He doesn't have a halal.
If he marries somebody he's not supposed to marry, can he continue doing the avodah?
Well, he doesn't become a halal, he doesn't become non-kohen from it. For example, if he eats truma, it's not chayv mita, Rabbi De Shemayim.
I understand. Okay, but I think he gets, I'm not sure. That's what I'm asking. I
Yeah, but
think, though, that he's not
the point
allowed
we're
to
trying
do
to
the
say doesn't
avodah.
become a halal. Whether the other certain gzeirot and takanot they're put in place because he's in an asur relationship, that's a separate thing. But he doesn't become a halal.
Okay, fine.
Okay? So now the Gemara says, for example, a woman we know bakohen tiyele ish zar. This is a pasuk. In other words, if she comes to Pasula, for example, if she has a relation with a halal, Natina Mamzer, all those situations we know that she becomes now a halala. So we find other contexts which she becomes a halal. So to here we can apply the Kol V'Chomer. That's a rationale. In other words, Toma Mitchalel, therefore you can buy the Kol V'Chomer here. Gemara says, lo is we're saying that this is another answer. Meaning, the Gemara says, "Chuvash al ikar dedina, meheicha kamaiti hi atzma mizaro, ma lezaro shechenit zarovavah, ma she'en keni hi, v'tomar she'ik sheira." In other words, you try to bring a kal v'chomer im nashachamina, if you didn't like that kal v'chomer from which is the source of it. You can't bring a kal v'chomer from there because his whole yitzira was a halal. We're trying to take someone who is sheira and turn her into halala. So therefore, we don't like playing this kal v'chomer, so therefore I'll give you a different pshat. Im nashcho ma, therefore lo yachul v'lo yichalel. Ma, af mishi kasher v'nichalel. What's the pshat here? So lo yachel havi matzil ha-meimah. The pasuk is lo yichalel zaro. It doesn't say lo yachel, it should say lo yachel. But it says lo yichalel. So therefore, kari bei, therefore you can learn from this, lo yichalel, the double lamed, can teach us lo yachel v'lo yachul achat zaro. You can learn them both together. Lo yachel, lo yachul. Meaning, v'lo yachol, yacholel, what's the case of lo yachalel? Zu hish kasher v'nitchalala. So therefore, it must be talking about not just creating a halal, but converting someone into a halal. So we've already got a drash from the pasuk that someone can be turned into a halal, and that's the isha in a relationship with a kohen, right? The say grusha to a kohen, etc. Now the Gemara says, Bar Padaya says, Amar ha-mechalel lo nitchalel, heyachzeh mitchalel. Now, this is a Kal Vachomer that's also brought in the Bavli that was ultimately rejected. But the Kal Vachomer was saying as follows: HaMechalel nitchalel, meaning the Kohen HaNoseh Grusha, so Hayach Edzomen, how then is an Edzomen that wants to make some Mechalel and didn't achieve to make a Mechalel should become a Mechalel? So that is the Kal Vachomer. So what this is trying to do is trying to give it, if you like, another source. We said the whole reason why I made a Mashpon Shomeng Grusha Mechalotza was because you can't give the reciprocal punishment. So here we're saying that because again it's not there's no symmetry here. I mean you can't make it can't be counted as amla asot and be fully exactly what he intended to create. That's why I have to give a malchus. But here we're saying is you can't give zomim, you can't give the eid make the eidim zomim chalalin because a kohen who makes his son a halal doesn't become a halal himself, and therefore kal vachomer eidim zomim who had just attempted to make someone a halal and couldn't do so kal vachomer should become a halal themselves. That's a kal vachomer the Bavli ultimately rejects that. Kavachomer, because it seems to undermine the whole concept of Edim Zomim. That's for your Bavli share. Let's continue. Edim Shiniz Damamu V'Chazur V'Nishaku. Now, I've skipped the line here deliberately. The Korbanot takes a line above it. And this is as follows. Edim Shiniz Damamu V'Chazur V'Nishaku. So the Korbanot says, Hachi Purusha, Edim Shinu Ploni Met. Okay? V'Elu En Yorshav. In other words, people testified that some person has died. And such, and these are the Yorshim or the wife can take the Tumah. The come along and say, how can you testify about that situation? You were with us at that location, the time you say you testified about this thing, you saw this thing. Okay? So it's impossible you know about it. Therefore, the Chayvan Mammon, the Mammon that tried to make someone lose, they'd have to pay. Okay, that's classic Edim Zomim. And then Acharkach, not only does it show there were Edim Zomim, they were showed they actually lied. Acharkach Ba'o to Adam, the man comes back. The man that claimed died. She'iru alav shemet, they testified that he died. Nimtzu, now they're found to be liars. So this is a really, really important distinction when it comes to Edim Zomimim. Edim Zomim doesn't mean they're found to be liars. Edim Zomimim means that it was impossible for them to see I've seen that testimony because Imano Yitim, you were with us at a different location at that time. They make the Edim Zomimim, they make the entire fact that they can even be Edim. They show that to be false, not the content of what they're saying. So in this situation, what happened, it was a two-stage thing. They were found to be false witnesses because they say, how can you say you saw the guy get killed, or you were in the hospital, you were playing with us at golf at that time in such and such a location. Okay? They're Edim Zomim. Chayv to pay. Then that guy comes back, now they're shown to be liars. The question is now, what do we do? Why? Because there are two Isurim here. Ba'al da'adam, so v'nimtzu shakronim v'chayiv malkut, because there's another lav of al lotan ebercha ed shaker, about testifying falsely. So in this situation, do you chayiv them both? Now, what the Pnei Moshe says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, because it says, the continuation of the Gemara is, Rabbi Yochanan amar sheker sheker, lotan ebercha ed shaker, v'ktiv sheker ina b'achiv. You've got the two little lashon of sheker, so you chayiv malkus and the eidim zomim. You have to pay them both. Okay. However, the interesting here, the Korban Eid actually says no. Rabbi Yochanan actually agrees his patu in that situation be patu for mammon, would have to pay the monetary component. Why? Says the mammon or malkut. When there's mammon or malkut, what does normally chayev someone chayev? They normally milky lucky. They got malkus and mammon or mishlamik. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan beperek elu narot. Like this, v'leik elamir b'dechayev betroy. You can't be chayev twice. The alfinan sheker dichtiv mal b'malkut lotan abed shaker and. Mishekir dichtiv be'enim zomim ed sheker ed. Just in case we've associated now this sheker with death and with a capital offense, you get killed, you have to pay. So, in other words, what he's saying is the sheker drush that according to the Korban Eder is saying is in this situation, he would only get malkut, he would not get. Wouldn't get the reciprocal punishment. Even though normally, if it was just Edim Zomim without the Sheker component, it's reciprocal punishment. You don't get Malkus. But now, because we've got Sheker, we've got two things here, and the separate Sheker offense, They're four, and you don't get Malkus and Mammon at the same time. Malkus would override. It's a Mechudash Shita here. Whereas, by the way, the Pnei Moshe simple reading is no, you get both, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So let's continue. Rabbi Elazar says, no, Rasha, Ne'emar Rasha b'mechuyev mitot, v'ne'emar Rasha b'mechuyev makot. Ma Rasha b'mechuyev mitot, ein Mammon etzel mita, af Rasha sh'ne'emar b'mechuyev makot, ein Mammon etzel makot. So, which is effectively the same position as the Korban Eid explained, Shita Rabbi Yochanan, that he would get makot and he wouldn't have to pay these edims all of them. And it's simply according to the Korban Eid, he's just learning for a different source, right? From Kedir Rishato. In other words, Yalif Rasha b'chiba Malkus v'im b'in kota Rasha. And it says, Rasha b'nechtiv b'mita asher hu Rasha lamot. And therefore, Malkut is dima is similar to ma, is Makot, there is mita, and therefore, just as mit, if there's mita and ma, and mammon, you only get a capital offense. So too, Makot and mammon, you only have Makot. Okay, yeah. Now, Gemara says, Bar Pedaya says, huyanos v'lo zamamav, and that's referring to the source. If you remember, if they're made in galut, then you don't send the edim zomamim to galut if they're found to be false witnesses. Rather, they get makot. Why? Because it says, "Bahuyanos," only the person who killed someone inadvertently, only that person go to makot, and it comes to exclude the edim zomim. Let's continue. Ve'im mishalmin kol ktuba, avam mishalmin tovat hayana ktuba, meaning the her value. And that's how I explained in the mission as well, in terms of if they testified a person about a man who divorced his wife in the ktuba, how much they have to pay. And we said it's really her rights, that someone would want to pay for her rights in the ktuba, which is as follows. Omdim, we say, Kama Adam Rotzeh Liten B'Ketubatah, how much someone would want to pay for her rights on the Ketubah? Shel Zu, Shema Tamut B'Chayei Ba'alah, because if she dies, the husband gets it. Or Shema Yamut Ba'alah, if the husband dies B'Chayah, she gets Vareisha Ketubatah. B'Kach U'Mashalem, or you got L'Fichach, but the Gemara says, B'Kach U'Mashalem, that's all it has to be paid. Okay, next Mishnah. V'Ne'ash B'Shponi Shuchayv L'Chaver Elav Zuv. Let's say that some individual testifies about a person is chayv to pay 1,000 zuz and the terms of amanat litem ba'ad shloshim, and he had to pay within 30 days. Omer, but really, what was the din? What was the terms of the loan? There was a loan, but it was ad asesh esar shanim, but it was a 10-year loan, not 30-day loan. In that situation, omdim kama adam rotzeh liten v'hu yeh elav zuz bi'adav. In other words, you can't say he has to pay the full loan because the loan existed. However, there is an opportunity cost for this money. Someone would want the money within 30 days over in other kama adam rotzeh liten v'hu elav zuz bi'adav ben litnon b'chan ad shloshim, ben litnon b'chan ad esar shanim. Meaning, the having a longer the money in one's hands for a longer period of time, there's a value to it, and that's what he's trying to make him lose. So, in other words, how much would someone want to pay to have this loan extended for 10 years and now it's been brought back to 30 days? That would be the difference. Okay, let's continue. So again, classic edim zomim, he has to pay him 200 zuz, they found to be false witnesses. Lokinu meshalmim, according to Rabbi Meir, we'll see. They get malchus and have to pay. Reciprocal punishment and payment. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, because he understands, because it's lotaneh, and you've got the kasha zamam. Unlike the way we explained it before, according to Rabbi Yossi, I think it was, that it's one or the other, depending on the situation. Understand, there are two lavim here, you get both. Physical punishment and payment. Chamim says, no, kom la'shamen elokeh. Once again, the issue of keder rishato. You get the, it's one of the two. Okay? But what's interesting here, I'll just show you here. Keder rishato, arisha achat mechaibo v'yata mechaibo v'shter rishayot. However, even though you might think usually makos overrides money, maybe we say no. In this situation, the Torah went out of its way to say you have to pay because it says kasher zama yad biyad, right? You got to pay over. So what's yad biyad? Lamali ela davarni temi yad biyad. What's something that's handed over yad biyad, hand to hand? That is mammon. That is money. Shma minad ein lokei. He doesn't get malchus. Dim ken. You could get two rishot. You get two punishments, and you're given one. Next, let's say the witness, these witnesses came along and says, or the false witnesses ultimately, this is the person's chayv, set of malkot, and they're found to be false witnesses. Well, now according to Rabbi Meir, you get two sets. One is kasher zamam, another one for doing the aveira of being a false witness. That's Rabbi Meir. Chachamim says no. Once again, you only get one set. Let's continue. What that means is if you've got witnesses come along and say he's chayv 100, that is shared by both of them. Okay, meaning the two witnesses pay 50. But however, if they say it's chayv malkut, 40, then you can't split that. They each have to pay, they're sorry, paid, they each receive a set of malkut themselves, each of the witnesses. They can simply split it between the two and they each have to pay 200. If they said chayv malkut 40, then each of them, kol echad v'echad, each of these four witnesses will get 40. Okay, beseder. I'm going to show you the Korban Edom. We've got a bit of time. It says, Edim, Edim Zomim Shechai, in other words, it says, Meshalshin Mamon, the Fimispara Edim, meaning if there are three, you can get a set of three witnesses and divide up three between three of them. However, Eim Meshalshin Malkut, Ein Kol Echad Be'edim Lokesh, Lokesh Shlisha Malkut. You don't divide it by three ways. Ela Kol Echad Lokesh Arbeim, everyone gets 40. Now, 40 doesn't mean 40, you know, it really means 39. But it's referred to as Arbeim Ekeno, but it's written, Torah refers to it as 40. That's why Mishnah talks about 40. Debeinu Matzid Mokasha Zamam, each of them wanted to give this person Malkut Lavad. Therefore, they get Malkut Shalem. Imken Afshiu Nilkin Bein Shloshtam Malkut Echad. Even if they want to split it, not to catch the Zamam. That's not doing what they wanted to do to him. She'en Kan Malkut Echad, because the Malkut itself is like a unit, if you like, and it's not like it's something's divisible, like say money is. So if they wanted to give him Malkut, and you say, okay, each of you get 13 each. Well, they're not. That's not reciprocal punishment anymore, because it doesn't add up. Malkut is like a unit. It's like money that's divisible. However, she'enkin mammon, mammon is mitzaref. It's divisible. You can add it up, and altogether, what they wanted to do, they sort of end up having to pay. Okay, yep. Let's do a bit of the Gemara. Meini mash pluni, ish pluni. Sorry. Now, Rav Babar Mamal, Rav Amram Amar Rav Matna b'shem Rav. Mavet chav Rav Amar shelo tavo shvit. So if someone's now Amana Shalom Latov'o means that I've got an extended loan, a loan for 10 years, which is, you can see where this is going, also if you remember Bavli, you can see where this is going in terms of writing to our Mishnah. If someone says, I'll give you, like, I'm not gonna claim the money back, if I'm not gonna claim that for 10 years. Schmidt is in that time. Now, why is a debt absolved? Because it says loigos, you're not allowed to press the person to pay back the money. But when Shmita comes around, I'm not pressing him back because I only asked for another 3-4 years' time. So I might think the other men would be that the debt's not going to be absolved. However, what he's explaining is the Shvid is nonetheless meshamtato, still is absolves the debt. Why? Because kimetzusot la'ati le'day, the korban says, at the end you're going to come to ask for the money back. Karina Beishamot, you've got to absolve the debt. Okay. Now, if that's the case, that's got to get the gears sort of turning your head. In a situation where a person says, oh, it was a loan that was meant to be paid back in 10 years, and their false witnesses come and say it was actually meant to be paid in 30 days, what are they trying to do? Meaning, why you say that we look at the difference in value of getting a loan back in 30 days or 10 years? The difference in this case, the Schmidt in the middle, is he didn't have to pay back anything. Now he has to pay the full amount. So that's, again, obviously the question is going to be running in the back of your minds. And we'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem as we go through the Gemara. Right, Kol Tov. Have a good day.